And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around. Whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down. When the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In measured hundredweight and penny pound. When the man comes around.
His name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him.
Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Talk. Glad to have you aboard. We have a tremendous series starting tonight with part one of the true birthday of the Messiah, Yahushua, Jesus in the English, if you will. And we're going to get right into the program. Now, we want you to call a friend and tell them that Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call is on there. We've got some good stuff for you. You see, we're coming into the Christmas or Christmas season, and everybody is under the general assumption that Christ was born on December the 25th of the year 1 AD. And those who have studied the Bible know that both the year and the date are wrong. A fact that you can find, actually, in any encyclopedia. And if you really want to do your homework, just look into the scriptures, and you can find out for sure that it wasn't December the 25th. Now, we know that the pagan ritual days of the sun god was December the 25th, the day that the sun rises, S-U-N, not the S-O-N. And so then it became a custom, a pagan custom, because it was easier to convert under Rome and Catholicism. It was easier to convert the pagans who had long held a time of worship or a time of observance, if you will, for December the 25th. And so it was real easy to convert the pagans into the sun worship of December the 25th. And we're going to find out the truth of the prophecy of the Bible. We're going to start in Daniel's prophecy of 70 weeks. It's a major undertaking to go back and to bring you all of these scriptures, so we'll probably have to do it in a 3 or 4 part series. Daniel 9:25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now, 64 means 60, a score is 20, and if you add 60 and 2 and 7 together, that's 69 weeks of the prophecy. And then we have the 70th week as the reserved time that the Messiah will be upon the earth teaching in the future of this prophetic pronouncement. Now, he taught 3.5 years and will teach another 3.5 years when he returns. 69 weeks is 483 days in prophecy. And the Bible, if we take a year for a day, and that's what we're going to do, would mean exactly 483 years after the command to rebuild Jerusalem was issued, the Messiah would begin his teaching, or if you have it, the 30th year of his ministry, or his life, to begin his ministry at the 30-year point. Now, all we have to do is to find out when this command was issued, and then we can know the very year. So, the book of Ezra tells us that it was the 70th year of King Artaxerxes. Ezra 7, 8, 11, and 8 will reveal the time. And he came to Jerusalem, this is Ezra 7 and 8, in the 5th month, which was the 7th year of the king. And in the 11th verse, now this is the copy of a letter of the king to give unto Ezra the priest, the scribe, even a scribe of the words of the commandments of Yahweh, and to his statutes to Israel. This letter that the king gave Ezra in the 7th year of his reign contained the command to rebuild Jerusalem, and from going forth from that was the year 458, history will confirm, B.C. 458 B.C. Now we've got a starting point. If you count forward 483 years from 458 B.C., it will bring us to 26 A.D. Now, if you do the arithmetic and remember that you have to add 1 year because there is no zero year, and if you count back 30 years, we come to 5 B.C. You see what I'm talking about? You have to add a year again because there's no more year of a zero. And if you add a year, go in both directions, but, you know, that's the way it works to make sure it's correct. Just subtract 30 years from 483 years to get 453, and then subtract back from 458, and you get 5 B.C. Now, we've got the year that I believe that the Messiah was born. Not as we are told in the Roman Catholic. See, they set the standard for history, the Roman Catholic Church. And with the 25th of December, a pagan day that they adopted, not the actual birthday of the Messiah. Now, we're going to tell you the actual birthday of the Messiah. We've done got the year of 5 B.C. to start your reckoning. Now, if that's true, then we're a little bit later into time than maybe you realized. And you remember that the Mayan calendar ends in 20 and 12. So we may be closer to that date than when you first believed. Actually, we may be entering into the 7-year period right before, if you will, the date that we're talking about. Now, if he was born in 5 B.C., we're going to look at the key to that date. If we look in the book of Luke, and then we'll compare it to First Chronicles. Now, let me start with Luke, and we're going to look at the birth of John the Baptist. Now, if you remember that John was 6 months in the womb when the angel appeared to Mary and pronounced that she was going to become pregnant. Now, if we get to 6 months, and then, and I believe that it was on the new moon, the night of the new moon, that the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and pronounced that Elizabeth, her cousin, was 6 months pregnant with John. Now we better start an age here. So, if you look at the courses of the priest, and this is a little bit complex, but I'll briefly go over it, and I may have more time later in the series to expound on this because it's very important. I'm not trying to pass over this, so I want you to know that in your study, in this series, we want to be complete. If you look at Luke 1, verses 5 and 6, it came to pass that while he executed, now we're talking about Zechariah, in the course of Abinya, he was under the courses. Now, 24 courses of the priesthood, and Luke 1, 5, and 6 gives us actually the course. Now, listen to this. And it came to pass that while Zacharias executed the priest office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of Yahweh. Now, King David had arranged the temple service among the priests so that there were 24 courses, and they served for 1 week every 6 months. Now, that can be found in First Chronicles for you that are doing your homework, as I brush over it real fast. It can be found in First Chronicles 24, verses 7 through 19. The course of Abinya would have corresponded to about the second week in July of the Roman calendar when Zacharias would go home during his duty. And Zacharias was chosen to burn incense, and that's when the angel appeared to him. Now, in Luke 1, 11, verse 22, and there appeared unto him an angel of Yahweh standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Isn't that appropriate? He's on the right side of the altar of incense when Zacharias saw him. Ladies and gentlemen, you can be visited by an angel unaware. This angel was standing right in the temple, and Zacharias became troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of Yahweh, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink." He was a Nazarite for sure. "He will be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb." And that happened when Mary saluted Zacharias when she came to the house, and Elizabeth, on hearing the salute to Zacharias when Mary entered the home, the Bible says that John was energized in the womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is the power of Elijah that would come, according to Matthew chapter 17. John was the spirit of Elijah, who was translated many hundreds of years prior to his coming in the spirit or the flesh body of John the Baptist. Remember, it was Elijah who beheaded the prophets of Baal under Ahab and Jezebel. It was Herodias and Herod, the, if you will, the reincarnation of these two wicked rulers under the personage of Herod and Herodias, that turned the favor back to John by taking his head off as a fulfillment of "you reap what you sow." You see, John was the spirit of Elijah. And if you read the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew, you will find that the Messiah revealed to his apostles that John indeed was Elijah that had already come, and they knew him not. Now, do you know the actual birthday of the Messiah? Let's get into the actual birthday of the Messiah. If you notice that the birthday of the Messiah would have to be sometime after the 6th month of the pregnancy of Elizabeth. Now, if you look at the 6th month, and if we are certain that she was 6 months in full, then that would have begun at the end of the 6th month, and it would have begun what we call the 7th month. Now, I want to really talk to you tonight about the 7th month. All of metaphors of a tabernacles is directing or pointing to indwelling. Now, where does life start? Does it start at conception? Or does it begin with the birth, actually, of the flesh body, which comes first, the spirit or the flesh man, which is more important? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to astound you, perhaps, if you are a Bible student, to tell you that I believe that the Messiah was conceived on the 14th day of the 7th month. Now, why do I believe that? Well, let's go back and remember what was told to Mary by the angel Gabriel. When she met Gabriel, it was the 6th month, as I said. And so then, if it was at the end of the 6th month or thereabout, then it would have begun on the 7th month. They blow the trumpet, and that was to announce that a king was coming. Know how this types right into the justification of our Messiah being conceived or tabernacling among men on the very time scale of the 7th month. Now, the first day of that month was to blow the trumpet, no servile work. And this was to announce, as I said, that the king was coming. Now, if we take the next important date in the 7th month of the Tabernacles, the Feast of Trumpets is day 1, then Atonement, Yom Kippur, is the 10th day. Well, if you go back to the book of Joshua, chapter 4, verse 19, you'll see why the 10th is significant, not only in numerology, but in time place, because the 10th is reduced to 1. There was one to come into the world, And the Bible said, in the beginning was the Word. At Tabernacles, the seventh month of blowing the trumpet, the tenth month of fasting, that was to get the people ready because the king was coming. And did you know what the spirit of Elijah was? In the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah, it says, for his mission was to prepare a highway in the desert for our God. He's coming to tabernacle among men. Conception, ladies and gentlemen, is when we begin the time to start our count. Now, if we take the 10th day, meaning that he's going to appear after everyone fasts, after everyone cleanses, after everyone... If you had the greatest king that has ever been known, wouldn't you give him the fanfare of royalty? Would you not blow the trumpet to announce to the people that a king was coming? And in the 10th day, to proclaim a fast among the people. The 10th day of Joshua, or Yahshua in the Hebrew, was the very day that they crossed into the land of milk and honey, or when the time to enter was the atonement day of the 10th day of the month. Now, there was 4 days after that to put up the lamb. Now we're ready now. We have blown the trumpet. We're talking about conception here. Follow me because I'm on a fast horse tonight. We're talking about conception sometime after the 10th day. Now, the 4th day after, this is the Passover festival, we're going to prove to you that our Messiah was born exactly 9 months after conception. And that would bring us to a time that we're going to discuss with you in part 2 exclusively. We're going to spend a whole hour on the birthday of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to bring you ground zero. This is where the rubber meets the road, actually. And this is where you'll hear it only on the Shepherd's Call. And the reason that you'll only hear it here on the Shepherd's Call is because Yahweh has appointed a Pastor Buddy to bring forth a revelation of the birth of our Messiah in the sequential events of true revelation. Now again, the 6th month, somewhere after the 6th month, and how fitting it is for the Son of God to tabernacle among men in a womb for 9 months. You see, he was a perfect baby. 280 days of conception. Full term would bring him, now listen to this, it would actually bring him into a point of history that you are going to be astounded when I give you the sequential events of the time elapsed after conception and prove to you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that your Messiah was born and died on his birthday. This is the truth that Yahweh has revealed tonight. Now, if you take the 7th moon, and after the day of the 10th, when we actually fast and prepare for the king, then the king was to a tabernacle in the relationship of time at the going down of the sun. Remember, it begins the 15th day. The 15th day is the full moon, or what we call, in the lunar application of time, the full Shekinah revelation. And how fitting for the Heavenly Father to reveal His presence in conception on the night of the 14th, when He actually began His conception, and He would carry full term for 9 months, and He would actually be killed, not on the first Passover. Remember, Christ did not die on the first Passover. Now, I challenge anyone in the listening audience to prove that statement wrong. Christ did not die. The one we call Jesus in the English Bible, the one I call Yahweh-Shua in a flesh body. His actual name was Yahweh. He was killed for making Himself Yahweh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word tabernacled on the 14th of the 7th month, and He was born on the night of the 14th, on the full moon. And ladies and gentlemen, anybody that knows anything about the gravity or the pull of the moon will know that on the full moon, there is a tremendous amount of births recorded on the full moon. And that is exactly when the Messiah was born, in the second month, or the second Passover. Now, right before my tape, I have it in audio and video, teaching in 2 hours. Matter of fact, I have about 6 or 8 hours in all total. But either way that you want to see and prove that the Messiah died, not in the first Passover, it's recorded, 3 prophets witnessed it that Christ was alive in the first Passover. Now, I challenge anybody under the sound of my voice to prove different. You thought that Christ was crucified and died in the first Jewish Passover. That's not true. You know, the Jews themselves said, let's kill Him, but not on our Passover. That was the first one. Now, there was a second Passover, little known by many people, that was authorized on the 9th chapter of the book of Numbers for those who were unclean, and Christ was declared unclean by the fact that He raised Lazarus from the dead under the witness of all the Jews that were there, saw Him, and they declared Him to be unclean so that they wouldn't have to kill Him in the first Passover, because there was a tremendous crowd there, perhaps really millions of people that had gathered at the first Passover. Now, the only justification that you can have to keep the first Passover is to keep it at the place where His name was recorded, and that was torn down in 70 A.D., and no Jew, and really no Hebrew, has kept it since. There's no temple standing where they kept it 2,000 years ago. Now, the only justification is for you to have touched a dead body, or for those in a far journey. Now let me repeat that. For those who have touched a dead body was the command given by Yahweh Himself to keep the second Passover exactly 30 days after the first one, which would have been April. Now if you count from the 15th of the 7th moon of Trisha, and then you begin your time count, you would have the 8th month, the 9th month, the 10th month, the 11th month, the 12th month. And ladies and gentlemen, the Hebrews were accustomed to include in a leap year the 13th month. And Christ was born during this leap year when there was actually a total eclipse to mark the event. This is an astronomical time period that is marked with a total eclipse on March the 23rd and 5 B.C. at 8:52 p.m., they know that there was a total eclipse. Now, why March the 22nd? That would be the beginning of the night of March the 22nd, because that's when the vernal equinox has its time period to mark, if you will, the beginning of Abib. At the first moon after the vernal equinox, we would have the beginning of a Passover. And so it was noted that a total eclipse, that something very important was going to happen during this time period. And so therefore, a total eclipse on March the 22nd in 5 B.C. at 8:52 p.m. Ladies and gentlemen, you will know the rest of the story when we get through with this series of telling you exactly what's being done at this very hour of the time, because the Bible said to mark that time. Now, the Metonic cycle of 19 years has 12 years of 12 months and 7 years of 13 months. The Metonic cycle, this is linked to the lunar calendar. Iyar is the second of the 12 months, with Abib beginning the first month. So, Iyar, oh my, is the month that the Messiah was born. It is called the month of Ziv. And in Hebrew, that means the month of radiance or cognate light. Well, the light tabernacled with man, in this case Mary, the woman, on the 14th of the year of Tishah, or the seventh month of the tabernacle covenant, where Yah promised to tabernacle with his people. Now, if he tabernacled in the seventh month, then if we count into the future from conception, he would have been born on the 14th of Iyar, the second month after the Passover month of Abib. And like I say, Abib was not the month that the Messiah died in. I would challenge anyone to prove that Christ died in the first Jewish Passover. That would have been, you know, that would actually have been an insult to his integrity. He didn't die for those who killed him. He died for a nation of people in a far journey. Oh, the view from the radiance of cognate light. The time has come that all the mysteries that are written in the Bible will be revealed to the prophets of the mighty Eternal One, Yah. The month of Iyar is commonly referred to as the month of natural healing, for its name is an acronym for I am Yah, your healer, as it is stated in Exodus 15 and verse 26. Ladies and gentlemen, the radiance of the covenant light tabernacling in the seventh month and coming into existence in a flesh body, Christ in you, the hope of glory, for he gave his life in the second Passover, right on his birthday. So he was born on the 14th of Iyar, the light coming to full radiance. they that have been in darkness will see a great light. No wonder this month was chosen. It is the second covenant to them in a far journey. It was for those who had become dead unto the law and had been exiled into the far countries. And the tabernacle experience of the radiant light coming to congeal light, turphosis, of the Aryan fellowship of the mighty and those who have understanding. Yah bless you in your understanding. Now, it also centers around the word va, or wa in English. Va, that's the Germanic. It's neither a V or a W, ladies and gentlemen. It is a U, and in this case, a single V is a single U, and a W is exactly what it said, a W. It's a link. It links together the 2 months of Abib and Sivan by the power of the Shirat Hamura, which begins in Nisan and continues throughout Iyar and concludes in Sivan, the month of redemption and the month of the giving of the Torah. The word come forth, the living word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, or Yah, and the word was Yah, and it dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, or his cognate light, and his beauty, and his radiance. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he here to ensure that we have the rest of the story in the last days? Isn't he here in his prophets? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, he will not reveal anything unless he reveals it first to the prophets. And so then, Yah is anointed me to bring you a revelation of the true birthday of your Messiah, conceived in the seventh month as the seed was planted in the womb. Remember, Mary was not pregnant in the sixth month of John's conception. But with the seventh month, or the tabernacle month, coming up, he had to be conceived to be born sometime in the spring. In this case, the second of the 12 months, Iyar, which means radiant light or congeal light, coming to heal the brokenhearted and to set the captives free. Ladies and gentlemen, wouldn't it be very fitting for the great mathematician of the heavens to come and perform a work that you wouldn't believe, though a prophet declared unto you that he did not die in the first Passover? I'm making a challenge for you Bible students tonight with Pastor Buddy to search your Bibles. You'll find in the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew, you will find that the Messiah was alive and well on the 14th day of the first Passover. We challenge anybody to dispute that. Now, if he be declared unclean, then he would have to return to Jerusalem, the city called by his name, in the second month of Iyar, to become the sacrificial lamb, as it was written and appropriate in all of the metaphors that would connect the second covenant, not the first, not the Levitical covenant, but the Melchizedek covenant as he dies and justifies the unclean and those in a far journey or those who were separated from the commonwealth of Israel with the middle wall of partition broken down that the Shekinah, the glory of the radiant cognate light, to set the captives free, as it is recorded in the Bible, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, the mighty rushing wind, comes down among us to set the captive free. Isn't it wonderful that we know our Creator? Isn't it wonderful that every month is sure that Passover celebrating the month of Abib, beginning the first Passover, and that would be celebrated through the second? Did you know that the Passover was actually celebrated for 60 days? Or within the covenant of 60 days, six is the number of man. And so man beginning and man's end is dependent upon the revelation of the link of his redemption as he come to give us the written word and become the living word, as these 3 months are linked together in the refined fashion of the wisdom of Almighty God. It is wonderful. The month of redemption and the month of the giving of the Torah and the month of his actual birth. He came in the second covenant application. He was killed in the second Passover. And if you go from the seventh moon to the second month, you have exactly 9 months. And the true birthday of your Messiah, by the wisdom and the mathematical appointment of the perfection of the light congealed to come to those who are chosen before the foundation of the world to receive the revelation of the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. For unto you this day in the city of David. Know how we're going to take you into part two of the city of David. We're going to look at the city of David. We're going to find out what David's actual bloodline was. And we're going to prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Messiah did not have one drop of the blood of Yahushua, or as it is better known today, the Jewish Messiah. There is no such thing as a Jewish Messiah. That is a figment. That is a misnomer. That is a lie from the very ones that tell lies, as it is recorded in Revelation chapter 2. I know them that say they are Jews. They tried to make him a Jew, but he wouldn't have none of it. Nowhere in recorded Bible can you read where Christ said he was a Jew. Quite the contrary, when you get into the bloodline genetics of where he actually came from, the Bible says, as we're going to discuss in part two, you don't want to miss part two. We're going to take you into the genealogy of the bloodline of Christ back to David. And we're going to link the time he was born into the world in a flesh body on the 14th day of Iyar. Actually would have been the second Passover when the lamb is killed. He was actually born and he actually died through the wisdom and the foreknowledge and the mathematical genius of the great mathematician of the heavens, as he summons the wise men to figure the mystery of the conception, the birth, the death, and the resurrection of a man that was born approximately 2,000 years ago and is upheld in the Christian church as the Savior of the world. And yet they celebrate the first Passover. Now the Catholics has turned Passover into a mockery of the feast god, as they take the communion of bread and wine and deny the actual Paschal or the passion of the Lamb as he was slain from the foundation of the world. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the covering blood was from a lamb that was brought by Abel to cover the blood that was shed by Satan. You see, Satan shed the blood of the righteous by deceiving Eve and placing his blood. Oh my, another message that is, by placing the blood of the satanic Satan, or the opposer of that one who is righteous, this mighty angel of beauty and overwhelming wisdom and power, very subtly deceived Eve into accepting not the blood of the lamb, but the blood of the goat in a sacrilegious ceremony of the veil. No wonder they have the Baltonic action of the priesthood, of the prostitutions of the religion of Baal, where they drink the blood of the righteous. That's where we get the word cannibal. Cain ate, literally, the flesh and blood of Abel. He become the vampire of the satanic powers that are in the earth prospering and practicing as they cast the truth to the ground. But in the last days, Yahweh will bring a judgment through truth and revelation, and only after revelation comes judgment. For it had been better for you not to know the way than know it and not obey it. So then, from the righteous blood of Abel, the Messiah, in the climactic end of his very beginning, conceived in the 14th day of Tabernacles and born exactly 9 months to the day later, right on time, in the second Passover of the month of Elah. Oh, how wonderful it is. I am Yah, your healer. Exodus 15:26. As he brings the radiant, cognate flesh man to light upon the earth. We have seen a great light. For those who have seen the revelation, you have been illuminated with the power of a revelation of truth to know that he came as the living word. And what did they do? Just like they killed Abel. After Abel offered the blood of a lamb to cover the sins of his mother, as without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sin, to redeem those who belong to Yah, as the radiant light congealed beings who before the foundation of the world was condemned, even before or even after that they did not sin, after the similitude of Adam, had to be proven and turned out of heaven's gate into the world to prove themselves worthy to return through revelation. If the gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Ladies and gentlemen, some of the things that I have given you tonight may be controversial. It may be new to your thinking. But let it be assured that as it was in Matthew 2:16, Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of a wise man, we're going to examine Matthew chapter 2 next week on the genealogy birthline, aware that the Messiah was bloodline attached, and we're going to prove to you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he was a son of David, according to the genetic offspring of Yahweh, who brought sons into being even before the Son of God was manifest. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the astounding fact is that Christ is not the first Son of God. He's only the revelation of the Son of God, the living Word, in the last days to manifest and make it known unto you that he did not have the blood of a man flowing in his veins. And if that's the case, all of the sons of God that he brought into glory have been born before the foundation of the world with a blood covenant of the Melchizedek priest line, where there is no fault, day nor night, and the accuser cannot touch or condemn through the justification of Adam being the son of Yah, and then beginning the royal bloodline, as we conclude in the four-part series of the royal blood of the Melchizedek priesthood of the Messiah, who brought light to the world, but men love darkness but the light. They would rather worship. Coming up next month on December the 25th, millions upon millions upon millions of Christians will worship the total pagan day of December the 25th as Christ's birthday. They have no spiritual understanding of when he was actually born into this world. I've given you a revelation tonight that perhaps you've never heard, because this revelation comes from the throne of Yah through the humble servant that he's chosen to tell you the truth. Now, if I've told you the truth, I'd like for you to write or call me tonight. Sit down and address a letter to Pastor Buddy. And all you got to do is say, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now that's Pastor Buddy. This is the only address you will need to contact Pastor Buddy. If you'd like to have this series of the true birth of the Messiah, a four-part series beginning tonight, we will mail this four-part series to you if you will just write, Pastor Buddy. When it concludes, 4 weeks from, 3 weeks from tonight, then you can have this exciting series on the truth and the genealogy of the birth and the death. And when he actually died, we're going to give you mysteries unfolded in waves of light, a dimensional process of understanding. How can you hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? I wasn't chosen by myself to preach the gospel. I was chosen before the foundation of the world to declare it as a witness that he anointed me with the spirit of the holy Shekinah and the Ruach flowing through my very being, that I want truth above all things. And I would tonight that you would prosper and be in good health, even as your soul could prosper, with the evidence of the truth making manifest in the last days, that you could hear the gospel and repent and take up on the magnanimous, magnificent, glorious, almighty, powerful name of Yah. It is a name above every name. And to this name, every knee shall bow. Not these false names that are very popular today. You see, I could have stayed in the popular name and stayed with that 30-year history of deception. But when the truth came, I walked in, I denounced all false names, and took upon the only name given that's got any salvation. There's none other name given under heaven whereby you can be saved. This is the only name that's got any salvation. And you can't go to heaven without salvation, ladies and gentlemen. And you must confess this name and bow the knee and be washed in water to be clean and to sacrifice to be acceptable unto Yah. So help me Yah. It is the time of the bringing forth of the congealed light of Revelation. Right, Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. This is 37824. Now, if you'd like to call down line, if you can't get through and the lines are jammed, don't give up. Keep calling me. I don't care how late it is tonight. Call me. That's area code 423-626-2172. Now, it's area code 423-626-2172. I'll give you the address, the mailing address. This is very important for you to get these four-part series. It may be the most perfect information that you will need or ever hear to bring light to the darkness of the time and the death. Actually, the birth and the death was on the same day that the Messiah was born and died. It was actually predetermined by the great mathematician, as I have already indicated, as he hid it from the wise and revealed it to the babes and the sucklings of our time. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in perilous times. It may be later in history than you think, but real regardless, if he delays his time coming for 1,000 years, today's your day. You've got a certain amount of days to determine that you will put him on. Most people want to put him off another day. But today is the day of salvation, and you must be determined and convicted and convinced that you have only one opportunity now to receive him. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, but let not your heart be troubled. If you're going to celebrate Christmas on December the 25th, you're going to do it on the wrong day. If you really want to celebrate his birthday, you can do it on the 14th day of the second Passover, where the Lamb was born into the world in a flesh body and killed on the same day. Oh my, 33 years after he was born, right to the day he died on the 14th of the month of the second Passover, for those who had touched a dead body or went a far journey. What beauty, what glory! What wondrous splendor of revelation of light that has come to be focused on the last days. Ladies and gentlemen, the time is at hand, and the day has dawned with the light shining in a dark place. Today, if you hear his voice, give me a call. Again, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824, or you can call me, area code 423-626-2172. Now, got some exciting news for you that I need to give to you. If you suffer from cancer, if you suffer from high blood pressure, if you suffer from heart disease, you need to call Dr. Gary, my sponsor tonight. You can call Dr. Gary. Well, if you call tonight, you just get his answering machine. But if you call in during business hours, this is a business number that I'm going to give you. And the best thing about it, ladies and gentlemen, it's on his nickel. It's a toll-free number. It won't cost you anything to learn. Dr. Gary will share with you some valuable information if you have diabetes, if you have liver trouble, if you have heart trouble, if you have high blood pressure, if you have stomach trouble. All this is related to our diet. Now, this has nothing to do with the foods that you eat, but this is a regimen of wondrous treatment with astounding benefits and facts. 1-877-289-7439. And tell Dr. Gary that Pastor Buddy referred you to this number. That's 1-877-289-7439. Dr. Gary, with some valuable health information, be available to you 9 to 5, beginning in the morning at 9 o'clock Central Standard Time. Call Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. Now, ladies and gentlemen, next Sunday night, God willing, if he's willing to permit me to live until next Sunday night, I want to bring you part two of the true birthday of the Messiah. And we will go to phase two. I want to get into the second Passover. Phase three, I want to get into the actual genealogy. And phase four, I want to sum up the actual proof of the day that he was born. And actually, we know the very hour that he died. We know when he was impaled on the torture stake. We know the very hour. And so then, the Father has not left us in the dark with congealed light beams that would accept the light, walk in the light, even as he is in the light, and you can have fellowship with the truth. Well, I've got to get out of here. My time on the old clock has come and gone. So this is Pastor Buddy. I'll see you next Sunday night on the Shepherd's Call. May Yahweh bless you.